Inside Chicago Government. ShyGov.com.
Welcome to another in a series of interviews with Ben Jarofsky. I'm Dave Glowatz. Ben writes on government and politics for the Chicago Reader, and he's here with me today. Good day, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
Thank you much. Mm-hmm. Today we're talking about your article that you co-wrote with Mick Dumke.
The great Mick Dumke.
On June 19th, 2014.
We've been doing this for quite a while, haven't we?
And it's titled, How Bruce Rauner Was Allowed to Accept a $2.5 Million Campaign Donation.
Yes.
That's in the print edition online. It's called How Bruce Rauner Used a Legal Loophole to Get a $2.5 Million Campaign Donation. You and Mick write about the so-called Millionaire's Amendment, a state law that removes limits on election campaign contributions when a candidate gives at least $250,000 to their own campaign. And you write how this provision has benefited the campaign of Republican gubernatorial candidate Bruce Rauner, specifically in terms of the wads of cash that have been thrown at his election bid.
Did I say that? Or did you say that?
Wads of cash. I think wads is my word.
Oh, brilliant.
Wads of words.
Yes.
Not to be confused with Wadsworth.
Yes.
Or is that Wordsworth?
No, it's William Wadsworth.
All right, good.
Yeah.
We get past the quiz section of the interview. Ben, at my last count, Governor Quinn and candidate Rauner have amassed over $13 million between them in campaign contributions. This is what one might call a lot of money.
Oh, my goodness.
Though in the context of what we've seen in federal elections, it might seem par for the course. Do you think that in Illinois elections generally, whether it's for statewide office or mayoral contests, the only direction that campaign spending can go is up?
Yes. Yeah, the system is rigged. You know it. I know it. All our green friends know it. They've been telling us this for years. Well, you are my green friend.
I just want to clarify that I'm not a card-carrying member of the Green Party.
As I've insinuated more than once, yes, in this show.
Voting for a party doesn't make you a member of the party.
Well, that's okay. You're sympathetic. You should be proud of it, by the way. But anyway,
I'm not
ashamed of it.
I'm not ashamed.
You're not running from it.
I'm not anyway, tired either, as Guthrie says.
This is one of those moments where I was astounded by how slippery our system is. It was several weeks ago that I was having a conversation with Mick Dumke about politics, and he mentioned in passing that this loophole existed. And I said, no, it can't possibly exist. I mean, what a stupid provision. who thought this was a good idea? And he said, it does exist, and he sent me the relevant statutes from the state. And then, you know, it's one of those stories that just sort of sat in the back of our minds until the appropriate time to write it. And that appropriate time came when Ken Griffin, the multi-gazillionaire hedge fund operator, who's probably the richest man in the state of Illinois or in the top five, gave, how much was it again? $2.5 million to Rauner, thus raising the question among the average man or woman in the street who was even vaguely paying attention of how can a system that was reformed to prevent huge infusions of cash permit something as grotesque as a $2.5 million donation. So Mick and I said, okay, the time has come for us to explain to the multitudes, or at least those who read the Reader, you know, how slippery and slimy their political system really is.
When might we reach a limit for this campaign?
Never. I can't see the ending until there's a revolution and the people say enough. I mean, that cockamamie Supreme Court decision which likened campaign contributions to free speech, boy, talk about turning the First Amendment upside down, has pretty much made such contributions the law of the land, I guess.
One poignant comment I heard was that if money equals speech, then why is it illegal to buy votes?
Wow, who said that?
That was said by Jeff Dorchin, who does the Moment of Truth commentary.
That is excellent. So something like Lenny Bruce would say, who, showing my age there, was a comedian in the 60s, ladies and gentlemen. Radical thinker.
Google it, children.
Yes, Google it. Lenny Bruce. But anyway, so Ken Griffin donated $2.5 million to the Rauner campaign. And then, of course, Mick and I went back to interview people who were in the state house when the law was passed to see what was the governing logic that led the Democrats to agree to this stipulation that probably would work against them, as it is in this current campaign. Rauner's running against Pat Quinn,
For the record, he is outspending, or he's out amassing campaign contributions by, yeah. I don't know, not quite 2-to-1, maybe 1.75 to 1 or something,
yes,
like that.
So that's what we sort of point out, the logic that the Democrats employed. Essentially, they're trying to stay one step ahead of all the consequences from the Supreme Court decision, as the Republicans are. And then, as we go on to point out, there's implications for our local races with the upcoming mayoral race, where Rahm Emanuel, sort of the Bruce Rauner, if you will, who's just raising gazillions of dollars from his wealthy friends so that his treasure chest will dwarf any of his possible challengers.
No limits.
No limits.
Let's talk about candidate Rauner. In the last week of June, candidate Rauner unveiled what he calls a blueprint for corporate welfare reform. There's that word again, reform.
Yeah.
In it, he attacks what he says are over $800 million in tax breaks the state has given to corporations since 1999. Rauner says that corporations got tax breaks without adding jobs, and in some cases, cutting jobs. Does it seem at all refreshing or even progressive for a rich Republican candidate to call for limits on corporate tax breaks?
Well,
he's making a face, folks.
If I were to believe him, I would find it refreshing. What's so discouraging is how absent the libertarians, the free market people, have been from this ongoing debate that you and I have been having since 2007. As I endlessly write up one article after another about city handouts. So I never heard Rauner say boo about our TIF program, which is the biggest corporate welfare program the city of Chicago has going. Money's been thrown to so many corporations that don't need it, don't deserve it.
You could do $800 million in 2 years easily with the TIF program.
That is correct. So where was he when we needed some sort of opposition from the free market advocates? So to me, this is sort of empty rhetoric in the middle of a campaign from a man who was missing in action. All of the free market advocates, from the University of Chicago to the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, every single one of them were absent as daily through millions at corporations, essentially using government to give an advantage to one property owner or merchant or private interest over another. So complete violation of all the principles they supposedly believe in. So I would have more faith and be more delighted by it if it had been backed by anything resembling action when it mattered. But of course it wasn't.
Why do you suppose he picked that particular corporate welfare scheme?
I have no idea. I don't follow the intricacies of the Rauner campaign. I'm not privy to them. But in particular, he was criticizing a program of the Quinn administration, the EDGE program, I think it is called.
I happen to have the blueprint right here.
Okay.
Yes, EDGE, which stands for Economic Development for a Growing Economy. That sounds great, doesn't it?
Yeah, it sounds great, which is probably the state's version of the TIF program. If I wasn't so fixated and focused on Chicago, I might explore that. My guess is, and this is just a guess, people have not done any study, that it's as wasteful and as poorly thought out as the TIF program. Maybe I'm wrong. You know, he was using this, without getting specific about what he would replace it with, he was using this to slam Quinn. And before we give Rauner too much credit, let's take a look at his position on the minimum wage, which is all over the map. But his current position on the minimum wage is that he would be in favor of a minimum wage hike, a hike in the minimum wage, if it were accompanied by tax breaks and what they call tort law reform, which is essentially making it harder to sue corporations for their malfeasance. In other words, more benefits for corporations. So more welfare for corporations.
So it's selective.
It's selective. It's all over the map. I just have no faith in corporations or really wealthy capitalists who profess to be libertarians to take a strong stance against welfare that benefits corporations. I think it kind of contradicts what they're in business to do, which is to make as much money as they possibly can.
We're talking about taxes. So we have candidate Rauner calling for, on the one hand, an end to corporate tax breaks, at least some of them, and on the other hand, advocating that Illinois discontinue the temporary personal and corporate income tax increase it enacted in 2011. I'd like to call your attention to an interview aired on Chicago Newsroom on March 20th, 2014. Host Ken Davis.
Kenneth.
one of our favorite journalists.
That is correct.
Spoke with Ralph Martier.
It's easy for you to say.
Executive Director of the Chicago-based Center for Tax and Budget Accountability. The center says its mission involves social and economic justice through data-driven policy. In the interview, Martier said data shows that one of the biggest drivers of economic growth is not tax policy, but rather people spending money on products and services, which causes businesses to hire more people and produce more stuff. So let's hear what he had to say about taxing the income of corporations.
Taxing their income one way or another doesn't incentivize them to hire or not. It's in fact irrelevant, because when you hire a new person anyway, it's a deduction from your taxes, and your taxes have nothing to do with demand for your product or service. I could cut your taxes till the cows come home. If no one's buying more of your product, you're just going to take that money and sit on it or distribute it to your shareholders.
Which is what we're seeing.
Given Martier's claim, Ben, do you think that the gubernatorial campaign's emphasis on taxes is overblown?
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't have said it better myself. I mean, we have to pay for government somehow or other, and the issue is who's going to pay for government? We've had this discussion many times before, and it's particularly a problem in Chicago, where we have many obligations. The most pressing, of course, that the corporate community wants to alert us to is the pension obligations. To pick up on what Ralph is saying, that's a direct investment in communities in Chicago. You're literally giving money to retirees who live in the city of Chicago, who will then spend it in their communities. I think that would be a far more profitable investment of taxpayers' money than giving money to a corporation that may or may not hire people, which is probably moving in the direction of not hiring people, because that's where corporations are going. I just feel as though somehow or other we're not having a real honest discussion about what's in our best interests. That's the state level we're talking about. And of course, we've never had anything resembling an honest discussion in the city. Here we are talking about state policy, which is not my particular obsession, but when I watch it from afar, there's an echo of what we hear all the time in the city. In fact, we're hearing it right now. Well, it's not directly correlated, but the mayor wants to give away land on the lakefront to George Lucas, a multi-gazillionaire, without in any way discussing or analyzing what implications this has for the people of the city of Chicago. So it's just another case where if you're powerful and you have the connections and you have the powerful person's ear, you can get something while everybody else is facing cuts.
I've got some real cool stuff in my basement that I like to be on public display.
I'm sure Mayor Rahm will put it right there on the lakefront.
It inspires me to like just take it over to the library and say, hey, you guys want to put this out here so people can look at it?
Well, now I'm going to switch things. My understanding, according to my sources, you're a huge fan of the Star Wars. Oh, no. Look. Oh, scoop. Wrong star.
Thank you.
One is Trek. The other is War.
Common error.
Common error, yes. People who don't pay attention. So I'm going to assume that you are not a fan of Star Wars.
No.
Oh, so if George Lucas were proposing to put a Star Trek museum on the lakefront, would you endorse it?
If he paid for it all.
I see. Yeah. So the issue then is only who's paying for it.
Yeah. All right, well, we can get into that at some future date, though.
May the force be with you.
Whatever that means.
I don't know.
We were just talking about taxes. If taxes are not key to the state's economy, then what is? Let's hear again from Mr. Martier in his Chicago Newsroom interview.
Getting back to what state governments can do to make a difference in growing their economy over time, there's really only two things that show a strong correlation between a state growing its, for instance, median income at a rate greater than its share of GDP would suggest and greater than neighboring states, et cetera, and its state GDP per capita greater than other states are two things, really. Investments in education, K through 12, and investments in infrastructure. Mm-hmm. And states that do a really good job at that, irrespective of their tax policy, tend to grow at faster.
I want to juxtapose Martier's position with the June 26th announcement by Chicago Public Schools that the jobs of over 1,100 school staff, about half of which are teachers, would not be retained in their current schools for the coming school year. Not layoffs, says CPS. CPS said that it expects that about 60% would find other jobs within the school system. As Amy Goodman would say, your response.
It's so depressing, Dave. I mean, I haven't even written about that, this latest round of layoffs.
Breaking news.
Breaking news from the mayor, who has supposedly dedicated himself to expanding educational opportunities for everyone. We are so screwed up as a city. You know, I'm always reluctant. Let me say this. When I hear people make claims about why one state is doing better than another, or, you know, what the overall policy is, I'm always reluctant to jump in because I don't know, like, for instance, what's going on in Wisconsin or Indiana or Iowa or Minnesota. If I were to base my understanding of what's happening in Chicago only on what I read in the Tribune or the Sun-Times, I don't believe I would have a complete understanding of it. So I'm a little reluctant to draw any conclusions about any of these states just by reading their daily newspapers or reading, you know, sort of the general consensus. In any of these cases, there's a lot of factors like corruption, scandal, inside deals that affect things like these overall policies and affect things like jobs. In the case of our crazy system of education, it's been largely driven in the last few years, in my humble opinion, by Mayor Rahm's determination to wage war against the Chicago Teachers Union, to prove that he is the kind of Democrat that's not afraid to crush a union. So every year we go through this crazy system where schools are closed or teachers are fired in the name of saving money while more money is sent off to charter schools that are non-union or to build, construct new schools which are union, which are for the relatively affluent in the city.
So they won't move to Wilmette.
So they won't move to Wilmette. So it's this strange situation where non-union charter schools are being dedicated for poor children of color while unionized special enrollment schools are set aside for more affluent kids of all races, all in the name of reforming education and reforming spending and in helping poor kids achieve as well as wealthy kids. I think it's obviously, it's just like a PR campaign, has no relation to reality. And so this situation where they're laying off teachers and saying they're not laying them off because those teachers have an opportunity to apply for some of the jobs that will still exist is part of the insanity.
Slightly Orwellian.
It's very Orwellian, yes. Although they probably would claim Orwell would approve of them. One of the beauties of the mayor's publicity campaign is he always claims as his inspiration people who would probably be fighting it. So, for instance, when he closed the schools, he said, you know, he was following Dr. King's dream as though Dr. King had said, yes, close schools in poor black neighborhoods. That's what we need to do.
The important thing is to brand your policy.
That is correct. So I'm glad you brought that up. I'll be writing about that, and I'm sure we'll be talking more about the ongoing personnel policies at the Board of Education.
With that teaser, we'll leave it there. Ben, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you, Senator.
Listeners, we welcome your questions and comments via Facebook and Twitter. Search for Inside Chicago Government or via email. Get to us via contact@shigov.com. I'm Dave Glowatz. Thanks for listening.